Good morning. Good to see you all. What an amazing privilege it is for us to be here together this morning. And what a great pattern for us to follow, to worship the Lord, to sing His praises, to love Him, to engage our hearts along with our minds in these great songs that proclaim the truth of our faith. And then having sort of cultivated all of that, to open up the Bible, to open up Scripture, to expect the Holy Spirit to speak through the truth of His Word directly to our hearts, and then for us to respond again in worship and to go out and to live for the Lord. That's what we're doing here, and it's a good thing. It's a privilege, and I'm really glad that you're here. If you need a Bible to follow along this morning, we have some ushers that have Bibles. You can raise your hand, and we will hand them to you. Don't be like the last service. People are actually giving Bibles back and going, here, take this away from me. I don't want it. But we expect a more receptive group here in the second service. So raise your hand, get a Bible. You can follow along in the Scriptures. Book of Zechariah. If you're new, if you're visiting, you need to find the book of Zechariah. That's what we're studying in the Scriptures. It's in the Old Testament. It is what is called one of the minor prophets. It's a short little book in the Old Testament. It records the events that took place about 520 years before the birth of Christ. It tells us about God's people who had been in captivity far away in Babylon after God had judged Israel, and how God brought them back once again to Jerusalem and said, it's time to rebuild. And so they're going to rebuild the temple. And in fact, in our study today, they're right in the midst of rebuilding. All of this is thematic for our lives as believers in Christ, as we recognize that God is a builder, that God is doing something in us. He's building in us. He's building through us. He's building His church in this world. God has a master plan. It's huge. It's amazing. And you get to be a part of it as a believer in Christ. God's invitation is open to all. Come, be a part of this. Put your faith in Christ and watch what God will do in and through your life. So that brings you up to speed. Today we're in Zechariah chapter 7. It's a chapter that I thought was about God's call to justice and mercy. In fact, if you open up to Zechariah chapter 7, you'll see why I thought that when I first read it. It's because at the title of chapter 7 in my Bible, it says a call for justice and mercy. Have you ever done that? You know, you open your Bible and you go, well, there's what it's about. It's right there. It's in bold print. It's an outline. I have an outline in my Bible. And so I read the chapter and I said, hey, this will be great. It's God's call for justice and mercy. But then when I read the chapter, I said, well, wait a minute. I see a call for justice and mercy in the chapter, but I'm not sure that's really what the chapter's about. In fact, I think the chapter is actually about something else. So I went back and read it again. And then I read it again. And having read it about 20 or 30 times this week and prayed about it, I'm on a little bit of a different page with the thing. Let's read Zechariah chapter 7. We'll just read through the chapter. And that's 14 verses, not too long. And you'll see a call for justice and mercy, sure enough, in here. What's it all about? In the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Chislev. Okay, so we have a little date marker, and it's really interesting. It's just a bit of trivia, I guess, but we know exactly what that day is. That date is December 7th, 518 B.C. So here we are on December 6th. I just thought it was weird. Like, really? December 7th, 518 B.C.? How amazing is that? A date and time, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. It's 2 years into the building project. It's 2 years since the beginning of the ministry of Zechariah. You remember he had that grand vision, or actually eight visions. That's the first part of the book. Eight visions. They all came in one night. All right, it was a long night. Eight visions. We've been through all of them. They all came in one night. And now it's 2 years later. 2 years later, and the word, not a vision now, the word of the Lord is coming to him on December 7th, 518 B.C., in the city of Jerusalem. Now, the people of Bethel had sent Sharezer and Regem-Melech and their men to entreat the favor of the Lord, saying to the priests of the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, should I weep and abstain in the fifth month, as I have done for so many years? Bethel, 12 miles north of Jerusalem. They have a religious question. They have a question about the observation of a fast. They've been doing it for many years. It's a part of their pattern. It's a part of their regular spiritual religious routine. Fifth month, have the fast. Been doing it a long time. Now they want to know, is it time to stop? And it makes a lot of sense that they ask this question, because the fast in the fifth month was a fast that began when the temple was destroyed 70 years prior. It was destroyed, Jeremiah tells us, in the fifth month. And so what they did was they said, oh, this is terrible. We've come under God's judgment. And so we need to repent. And so they called a fast. And every year they commemorated the destruction of the temple by fasting before the Lord. It had become a habit. It had become just a ritual in their lives. And now the temple is being rebuilt. It's about halfway done. They've been working on it for 2 years. It's halfway done. And so they send a delegation, and it makes all the sense in the world to ask the question, do we still need to fast? I mean, come on. You're building the temple. It's a great thing. I mean, let's maybe stop this fasting. What do you think? We'd like a yes or no answer. Yes or no answer. There's a good chance you're on the wrong track with God if all you're looking for is a yes or no answer from God. Just file that somewhere. There's a good chance you're on the wrong track if you're looking for a yes or no answer, and that's it. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me. Say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth month and in the seventh for these 7 years, was it for me that you fasted? And when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? And were not these the words that the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous with her cities around her, and the south and the lowland were inhabited? They wanted a yes or no answer, and God wanted to talk to them about their hearts. Should we fast or not? Yes or no? God says, I want to know about your heart. By the way, why were you fasting on the fifth month for 70 years? What's your motivation? What's really going on deep inside your heart? That's what God wants to know. Verse 8, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. That's the part about God's call for justice and mercy. It's right there smack in the center of the chapter. It's there, for sure. Call for justice and mercy. Do the right thing, the Lord says. Verse 11, but they refused. They refused to pay attention. They turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard. How hard is that? Diamond hard. That's pretty hard, isn't it? Diamond hard? That's really hard. They made their own hearts diamond hard. Nobody else did it to them. They weren't victims of the diamond hard machine. The diamond hard ray gun, someone came along and said, I'm making your heart hard like a diamond. They made their own hearts hard like a diamond? Gosh. Lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. As I called and they would not hear, so they called and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations that they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was made desolate. Wow. That's pretty intense. All of that answered the question, yes or no question. Yes or no, should we fast? Then God gave that answer. That's a long answer to the question. Interesting. Well, what's it about? Is it about God's call to justice and mercy? Well, it's kind of about that. But that's not really what it's about. You know what this chapter is about? It's about a group of people who refused to listen to the voice of God speaking to their hearts. That's what the chapter is about. You read through this chapter, you'll notice something right away. The word of the Lord, he keeps saying. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah. Then the word of the Lord came. Then the word of the Lord came. And you read chapter 8, and it's the same thing. The two chapters go together, 7 and 8. 7 is kind of the more negative chapter. 8 is more positive. But the theme, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, over and over again. God is speaking. And then did you notice how many times it talked about hearing or listening or not hearing? And not listening. Did you see that? You can go back and kind of catch this. Where do we see this? How about, it really starts to pick it up in verse 11. But they refused to pay attention. They wouldn't pay attention. It's in the Hebrew, it's literally hearing. They refused to listen, to give an attentive ear to what was being said. And they turned a stubborn shoulder. They like turned away. Now, talk to me. Don't you talk to me. They went like that. Turned a stubborn shoulder. And they stopped their ears. They stopped their ears that they might not hear. They might not listen. And they made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit to the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts as I called, and they would not hear. So how many times does it say it? Over and over and over and over again. They would not listen to me. They would not hear me. How tragic is that? Especially when you realize that God's primary calling to His people, Israel, was that they would hear, that they would listen to Him. Do you know what is considered to be the greatest of all the commandments in the Old Testament? In fact, many people say this is the most important verse in the entire Old Testament. Not this one, another one, the one I'm going to show you in a minute. Most important verse. Jesus quoted it in the New Testament when someone said, what's the greatest of all the commandments? And Jesus quoted it, and a lot of you know already, oh, it's about loving God. Yeah, right. But do you know how that verse starts? You're going to find out. You knew that, didn't you? Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy. Go back in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. It is in what we call the law, the Torah. The first five books, the law of Moses, very, very important. God's word. Here it is. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Oh, chapter 6, sorry. I'm getting my numbers turned around. Chapter 6 in verse 4. Now this is it. This is the most important passage in the Old Testament. Say some, say many. I think it's probably true. Hear, O Israel. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel. Listen. Listen. Shema. The Hebrew word Shema, it means to hear, to listen, to incline your ear. You know that if you go today to some homes, some Jewish homes, you will see on the door frame, when you walk up to the door, you will see a little piece of wood or a little sign, and it'll have a Hebrew letter on it. It is the letter Shin, pronounced S-H, and it's the first letter in the word Shema. And the reason they have that on their door is because of this verse. Hear, O Israel. Listen to me. It is the defining quality of God's people. It is that they listen to Him, that they hear His voice, that they pay attention to Him. Please, listen to me. And then it says, the Lord your God, He is one. He is one. Or some people translate it, the Lord and the Lord only. Only. He's first. He's the one. Only the Lord. Only Yahweh. Listen, this is important. And then he goes on to say, in verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. And I guess that's pretty much the whole day. In verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Good grief. That's pervasive, isn't it? Listen. Get the truth about God. Love Him with all your heart, mind, and strength. And take the Word of God that you're listening to and get it in your heart. And just to help you, he says, bind it on your forehead and your wrist. And so in the New Testament days, the Pharisees got all carried away with that, and they would make these phylacteries. They would actually make little boxes and put scriptures in them and tie them around their heads and have a box there. Well, it says to bind on your forehead and on your wrist, and they'd have scriptures there. Well, it says to do that. But what about your heart? He said, but get it on your heart. That's the thing. So isn't it sad that in Zechariah, when he's talking to these people, he says, you know, the tragedy is this is a group of people who did not listen. It was their highest calling in life was to listen. And they didn't do it. Chapter 7 is about a people who failed to listen to God. They failed to open their hearts to the Word of God. And because of it, things didn't go well. But God wanted something so much more for them. So now as they're rebuilding in the book of Zechariah, they're rebuilding the temple. They have a new start. God's going to do wonderful things. He says, please learn from the mistakes that were made. These people didn't listen. And when he goes into chapter 8, he says, I have such big plans for you, such great plans for rebuilding, for the temple. His gospel purpose in the world, which was unfolding in the book of Zechariah and the prophets, beautiful. But the key is, listen, do you know that in order for you to be a builder, for you to be the recipient of God's work of building in your own heart and life, you must be someone who listens. You've got to listen. You got to hear the voice of the Lord speaking. That's what chapter 7 is about. Here's what I want. Here's what I desire. I pray so much that you would be a person who listens for the voice of God in your life. That you really listen for His voice. And some people are frustrated. They say, well, I'd like to hear the voice of the Lord, but I don't think I hear it like you do. I don't, you know, hear it like Sister Betty, who shows up, you know, every Tuesday and tells me that the Lord told her 18 things. You know, I'm just not that spiritual. But this is your heritage as a believer in Christ, as a follower of Christ. The Holy Spirit is given to you to hear the voice of the Lord, to listen to the Lord. And God wants to speak to your heart. Do you know that if you hear the voice of the Lord in your life, that it will change your life? It will bring you to life spiritually. It will nurture your life. It will empower your life. This is key for us. Now, when you look at the passage, I want you to notice something in this passage. So go back to Zechariah 7 and think about it for a minute. He says, okay, when you were fasting and all that, were you doing it for me, really? I mean, what's the motive of your heart? Now, look at verse 7. Of Zechariah 7. Were not these the words that the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous? Were not these the words by the former prophets? So what is he saying? The former prophets asked the same question. Why are you doing this? Why are you fasting? Why are you worshiping? Why are you coming to the temple? What's in your heart? These are the words of the former prophets. You've already heard this message. This isn't a new message, he's saying. In fact, now he's going to do the justice and mercy thing. But really what he's doing is, he's not telling them anything new. He's just repeating what the former prophets said. So take a look at it. Verse 8. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgment, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. Let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. I believe that Zechariah, in that verse, is summarizing the message of the prophets before him. He's talking about, that's what Jeremiah said. That's what Isaiah said. That message, you've heard it before. Here's why I think Zechariah is not giving a new word, but he's just repeating an old one. Because I think he's actually going back in history and talking about something that happened before. Here's why. Because in verse 11 it says, but they refused to pay attention. They refused to pay attention. Who's they? It's the people from before. When the former prophets came. When they heard the message. And they heard about justice and about mercy and these things. And those people before didn't pay attention. And that's actually why the temple was destroyed. That's why God's judgment came on Jerusalem. So what Zechariah is doing, he's pointing back and he's saying, I want you to learn a lesson from what happened before. Okay, they refused to pay attention. They didn't listen attentively. They turned a stubborn shoulder. They stopped their ears that they might not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear. Verse 12, what? The law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. You know what they did? They failed to make the most of the opportunity that God had put right in front of them to actually hear the voice of God. And that was the root of their failure. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to be a person who hears the voice of the Lord in your life. And in order to do that, here's what you need to do. You need to make the most of the opportunities that God has already put in front of you to hear His voice. I mean, make the most. Take seriously the opportunity that God has put in front of you to hear His voice. How can you do that? Well, He says right here, He says, I gave them the law. That's His word. That's the scripture, the Old Testament. He says, I gave them that, but they didn't listen to it. And then I sent the prophets who spoke my word through the power of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't listen to that. What opportunity has God given to you and I to hear the voice of the Lord that we might not be taking seriously enough? Let's go to our New Testament and let's check it out. New Testament, and we're going to go to 2 Timothy, chapter 3. So that's, you know, way over by the end of the Bible, and then you can go back about 30 pages from the very end or so, and you'll come to 2 Timothy, short little book. It's what we call one of the pastoral epistles, because Timothy was a pastor, and Paul is writing to Timothy and telling him about how to be a good pastor, what he should do, how to nurture people, how to minister in the church. That's what Timothy is about. And in the midst of this book, he says some things that I think are real important about what we're talking about today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, take a look in verse 15. Now he's referring to Timothy, this young pastor, telling him to continue in the things that he's learned. And in verse 15 he says, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. The sacred writings. Scripture. The written Word of God. For Timothy, that would be the Old Testament, which all pointed forward to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, you've known these. All right? So pay attention to them. Don't take them for granted. This is an opportunity to hear from God. Verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So think about your Bible. Paul says, Timothy, think about your Bible. Do you understand the opportunity that you have simply by the fact that you have God's written word right here in your hand to hear the voice of the Lord? It's unbelievable, the opportunity that we have. This word is inspired, it is written, it is breathed out by God's Holy Spirit through the prophets, put down on the page. Through the apostles, put down on the page. Now, some people are going to trouble with that. It's going to trouble them and say, well, wait a minute, how exactly does that work? What is the process of inspiration? And how do we know that, you know, it wasn't just something in their own head and that it was God? It says right here that it was God-breathed, inspired by God. It is called Holy Scripture throughout the Bible, and there's a reason for it. If you are troubled about that subject, come and see me. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the Gospels. Let's talk about written Scripture. Let's talk about the inspiration and the authority of the Bible. And I can give you a good understanding. I can give you some resources, and you will become confident in this Bible as the Word of God. Now, I want you just to go with this premise that this is the Word of God for our purposes this morning. Let's just go there. This is the written Word of God, God Almighty, the God who made the heavens and the earth. Just go with that. Think about what it implies. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that there's a God who made the heavens and the earth? A sovereign Lord who stands above and beyond this created world order. That's good. That's great. That's a good starting place. Talked about it last week. You believe in God? That's awesome. Jesus said, believe also in me. Do you believe in Jesus? There's a good chance you do. It's probably why you're here. You believe in Jesus. This is a Christian church. We believe the gospel of Christ. You believe in Jesus. That's great. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. We believe in the miracle of Christ. God coming into human flesh on Christmas. The incarnation. We believe in it. We believe in the life and the miracles of Christ. That He walked this world as the Savior, revealing the very nature and character of God Almighty through His life and His teachings. We believe that Christ died on a cross for our sins, that He Himself bore in His body our guilt on the cross. Amazing. We believe in the third day that He rose again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that He will come again someday. That's just a little outline of Christian theology. Believe that? This Bible is the record of Jesus Christ. It baffles me that people sometimes say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I'm really not so sure about the Bible. I'm like, well, what? How does that work? How does that work? Well, I like some stuff about Jesus, but I don't like other stuff. Well, how does that work? Where do you get that? How did you pick that? How did you decide what was real and what wasn't? Well, the parts I like, I think, are real, and the parts I don't like, I think, are not. Wow, that's deep theology. That's amazing. That's amazing. Are we ignoring the opportunity that is right in front of us to hear the voice of God through this word? I think most likely we are often doing that. I want you to start there. I'm so encouraged by people that get into the Bible. I can tell you so many people that will say to me, Pastor, it's been since I got in that Bible study, since I got in that men's group, since I went to Bible study fellowship and I dug into the Gospel of John, I'm coming alive. I'm coming alive. I feel like I'm understanding. I feel like I'm closer to the Lord. I feel like Jesus is speaking to me. And it's because they're digging in to this word. But let's go a little further in 2 Timothy. How about chapter 4? I charge you in the presence of God. This is 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He wants to get his attention. Does that sound intense? I charge you by the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom. That sounds pretty intense to me. Now here's what he wants him to do. In verse 2 he says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Timothy, preach the word. What word might that be? He just said it in chapter 3. It is the word of Scripture. As it points to Jesus, as it expresses the gospel of Christ, he says, now you preach that word to people. It is the ministry of preaching in the body of Christ. It's not just teaching, it's preaching. Teaching is to inform. Preaching is to inform, inspire, motivate, move. There's a difference. They complement each other. Teaching can just touch us at an intellectual level, and we go, that's cool, that's great, I never saw that before. Preaching should touch us intellectually and emotionally to where our hearts become engaged and moved. And here's what I want to say to you this morning. It's very important. We have an opportunity here every Sunday to hear the voice of God, to hear the voice of Jesus. And you know, it's through the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the Word. Paul said something really interesting to the Thessalonians. And as long as we're in the neighborhood, it's just a few pages back from Timothy. Just go back about 5 pages or so. And you're going to get to 1 Thessalonians. It's another church that Paul established, and he's writing to these Christians. He cares about them. And he says something to them that's really important. In 1 Timothy 2:13, we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Okay, so think about it. Paul's excited. He's thankful. They received the word of God. They accepted it not as the word of men, but the word of God. He says, you heard it from us, but you accepted it as the word of God. And it's working in you who believe. Now, to some that might sound arrogant. It's like, well, what? You think you're God's mouthpiece? You think you're the voice of God? No. Did Paul think that? No. But Paul believed that by the Holy Spirit, that when he used his spiritual gift of being an apostle, a pastor, a teacher, a preacher, and when he brought the word of truth and illuminated this word of truth to this moment and this group of people and this congregation, that the Holy Spirit would speak to people's hearts. He believed that, and they believed it. And because of it, it effectually worked within them. Here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to make the most of the opportunity that you have to hear from God speaking to your heart by what happens here in our worship gathering. When we gather together, we have an opportunity to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us. Now, this is why those who bring the word on Sunday morning from up front here, the pastors that share, that we really agonize and pray and seek the Lord about this opportunity. We want to make the most of this opportunity. So here's what happens. About 20 hours worth during the week of just getting in the word, praying, freaking out, talking to people, praying some more, and taking all this in and saying, Lord, what would you say to us this Sunday? To us, this group? How would your Spirit speak to us? And Lord, would you please open hearts and touch people and speak to them? That's what goes on this side of the equation. All right, just so that you'll know. Now I want to ask, what goes on that side of the equation? Because it's equally as important. Aren't you glad that when you go into surgery, that your surgeon has prepared for that moment? Don't you hope that the surgeon is ready to go? Don't you hope that he didn't wake up 5 minutes ago and come in with a cup of coffee like, what? What time is it? Anybody got a knife? Aren't you glad? But the beauty of surgery is that you get to be unconscious, and it's probably best that way. But that's not the way it is at church. Okay, on this side of the equation, we're getting ready. On that side of the equation, are you? Are you walking through the door and saying, I'm ready to hear from the Lord? I want to ask you to make the most of the opportunity that we have every week. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Here's some things that you can do to be ready to make the most of this opportunity on Sunday mornings. First of all, pray that God will open up your heart. I mean, in Zechariah, they made their hearts diamond hard. How hard is that? That's really hard. They just said, no, 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 no. But Ezekiel, the prophet, in Ezekiel 36:26, he gave a promise. God said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put my Spirit in you. I'll take away the heart of stone, the diamond. I'll take that away. I'll give you a heart of flesh. Claim that promise. It's a promise of the gospel. You open your heart to Jesus, and Jesus says, I'm going to give you a soft heart, an open heart. And I want you to claim that promise. I want you to pray that promise. And I want you to say, Lord, help me to open my heart. On Sunday, when I come to church to worship, I want you to meditate on the Word beforehand. Before you ever get here, meditate on the Word. How profound is this? It's amazing. Now, some people, the only time that they hear Scripture is on Sunday morning when I speak it, or when it comes up here on the screen. That's it. And that's kind of weird, since this is the Word of God, it's Scripture, we have this opportunity, and God's speaking through it. I want to encourage you to read the Scripture ahead of time. How radical would it be if on Saturday, or early Sunday, you could get up early Sunday? How radical would that be? Get up early. Get the beverage of your choice and open your Bible and say, I'm going to just take some time and read Zechariah 7. And I'm going to pray about it. And I'm going to open my heart and say, Lord, speak to my heart. And Lord, speak to the pastor this morning. And I need to hear your voice, Lord, in my life. How amazing would that be? Or if after the message on Sunday you went and you took some time, and again you said, okay, now let's go through that again, and let's pray and let's think that through and let's meditate on that and let's see, what might God be saying to my heart? It's an amazing opportunity. You may have to log off or power down in order to do this. So I saw a bumper sticker and it said hang up and drive, and I love that one. See people, they're causing accidents, and they're talking, they're driving, and they hang up and drive. You can't do both at once. It's not working. And so I want to have a bumper sticker that says, log off and pray. Power down and pray. Okay, just our lives are inundated with information, technology, intrusions coming at us, beaming at us, and we do not know how to just put all that off and quietly be before God and still our hearts and prayerfully say, Lord, what would you speak to me through your Word? Through the message that the pastor's bringing from the Word. Okay, make some space in your life for this.
God will speak to you. He will speak to you. It will be amazing.
I want you to enter into our worship time with heart and mind. This is our worship time, Sunday mornings. Enter in with heart and mind. Now, we call this a worship service. And it is a worship service indeed. At the center of our worship service is the Word of God. It's the Word. We're Word-centered, Christ-centered in the Word. But it's not just a teaching time. There's a difference between going to a class, a Bible class, and coming to worship. Because what we do is we engage heart and mind. That's why we worship the Lord, we take truth and we put it to song, and we engage our feelings and our heart before God, and we sing out to the Lord. We're trying to engage our heart with truth. If you engage heart and mind, the likelihood of you hearing the voice of Jesus goes way up. Goes way up. Do that. Do that when you come. See what will happen. Now, I need to tell you something about hearing the voice of the Lord. You're going to have to listen maybe in a different way than you ever have before. Because the stuff that you're asking God might be the wrong question. Like they said, hey, Lord, should we fast in the fifth month or not? Yes or no? And the Lord says, well, now that you've asked, by the way, why were you fasting all those years? And when you eat and you have your feasts, like, why do you do that too? And by the way, what about mercy and justice and caring about other people? Isn't it interesting? We want to ask God and talk to God about the details of our life, about decisions that we want to make or need to make, about provision that we think we need in our life, about solutions to problems. We want to talk to God about all that and get answers. And God says, I want to talk to you about your heart. I have a different agenda. I'm going to talk to you about your heart. And you're like, no. We're not talking about my heart. And that's where that diamond heart thing comes in. Well, if you could just tell me like whether to do this, this, or this, and I could be done with that, that'd be great. But God says, no, I want to talk to you about your heart. And that's the key. It's not about religion. It's not about just the proper way of doing things. It's about relationship. It's about your heart, God says. That's what I want to talk to you about. When you come to church, when you open your Bible, you have to open your heart and say, God, examine my heart. And God, you'll find God speaking to you. Do you know the most dynamic things that God has ever spoken to me in my life had nothing to do with answers to questions about direction or calling or anything like that? It always had to do with my relationship with Him. God says, let me talk to you about my love for you. And let me ask you a couple questions about your love for me, by the way. You know, I've told the story about going to Canada and 1 year. And sometimes I feel very strongly like the Lord is speaking to me. And it's very overt. It's not all the time, but occasionally that happens. And that one time when I felt like the Lord almost knocked me out of the bed, and He said, who are you and what are you going to do? And I remember getting out of my bed and thinking, what? What kind of a question is that? Is that a trick question? Who are you and what are you going to do? Like, what are you talking about? That's nonsense. It means nothing. But I knew the Lord had spoken to me that. What if God speaks to you and He asks a question? That's what He did. He asked a question. Who are you? What are you going to do? I go, I don't know. I don't know. Who are you? What are you going to do? God says, good, now we have a dialogue. Now I want to talk about relationship. See? So when you open your Bible, when you come to church, are you opening your heart and saying, God, speak to me about my heart, about my love for you, about your love for me, about the truth of the gospel? That's the question. You know, we're still in the neighborhood in Timothy, so let's go over to Hebrews Just a few pages to the right, you'll get to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. In verse 1. It says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Pay attention. Well, in Zechariah, they refuse to pay attention to what you've heard. Stuff you've already heard. It's not new. It's just you need to pay attention to what you've heard. Or you'll drift away. Well, in Hebrews chapter 2, there's only one thing that he's been talking about up until this point, and it's Jesus. You can read chapter 1. It's all about Jesus. It's about who Jesus is, his divine nature, how he is the exact representation of God, about how he made the worlds. Talks about Christ, his divinity, his character, his sovereignty. And then it talks about Christ coming into the world and dying on the cross. It says he made atonement for our sins. And then he rose up to be seated at the right hand of God. What Jesus has done for us. Jesus died for our sins. Amazing. He rose again in victory. Amazing. That's the gospel. All of that is in chapter 1. It's all about Jesus. And in chapter 2 he says, therefore we need to pay more careful attention to what we've heard. Or you'll drift away. You'll drift from it. You know what it's like to drift? We had a neighbor who one day told us a story of his son up in Alaska. He was in some kind of a little boat and he lost an oar or something. And he was at the mouth of an inlet and then he got caught up in a weird current and he got pulled out to sea. And he's going out on this current and he can't get back into land. And he's going out mile after mile after mile way up in Alaska. He's on his way to Russia. And he sees, and it's like the last island before it's over. And I don't remember if he got out and swam or somehow he got to that island. And then he was just alone on that island for like a week or something. The guy was just out there. He had drifted. We're in a world that will pull you in its own wake. It will just pull you in its own drift. And as you get pulled in that drift, you're not going to hear the voice of the Lord. You're just going to get further and further away. The Word of God, the Word of the Gospel, our times of worship, they anchor us. They anchor us against that pull. And we give more careful attention to these things. That's who we need to be, because that's the only way the Lord can build in us and through us in the Gospel. So, let's answer the call to be that kind of believer. Sometimes the Lord speaks very overtly. It's more rare. Very often the Lord speaks in the quiet of our hearts and just shows us stuff. After first service, I had people coming up to me. It was beautiful. People were like, I want to tell you what the Lord showed me during your sermon. One guy started talking about Tevye in The Sound of Music. I went, really? Another guy said, I was thinking about the practice schedule of a football team and the coach and what he said. Really? One person came up and opened their journal and said, here's what I wrote down. And they had this beautiful thing that they wrote. And I went, that's awesome. Because the Holy Spirit was speaking to each person. You know, it was a little different. It was all the same thing. But the Lord was speaking to each person. The Lord will speak to you. I love the person with the journal. They brought it. They had a pen. They bring it every week. You know why? Because they expect the Lord to speak to them. And they want to write that down and go back and think about it and pray about it. That's who we should be. Really believe that. And if you feel like the Lord is not speaking to you, I wouldn't blame it on God. I wouldn't blame it on the Lord. Don't be too quick to do that. That's probably not smart. Okay? Let the Lord examine your heart. Speak to your heart.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder to us of what you value. You value justice and mercy. But you remind us, Lord, that that will never come unless we have hearts that are open and ears that will listen to what your Spirit will say to us through your word. And so help us to be that kind of church, that kind of Christian believers, Lord. I'm excited for it, Lord. I'm excited for what you might do, how you might work in us. Right now, will you take a moment during this next song and open your heart to the Lord? Talk to the Lord. Ask Him to help you to have an open heart. Tell Him that you believe Him for the promise of a new heart. Ask Him to examine your heart and to show you where you're straying, that you might repent and turn from that. To show you the deep love of Jesus. To show you the wonder of the cross and how He died, taking your sin upon Himself, so that you can trust Him fully and find a new relationship with God. Lord, do that, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.